We'll never let him go. Because there are people tonight, Christians, blood-bought, spirit-filled, healed and blessed, that are letting him go. Do you ever contemplate eternal torment? Do you know how terrible it is to have terrible, terrible stomach cramps? If hell was no worse than that, terrible stomach cramps forever, would you want it? Could you take it? Could you handle it? Talk about not being able to handle things. Talk about the Christian life being too rough. Talk about too rough to pray all the time. Talk about too rough to witness to the crowd. Talk about too rough to keep fighting the devil. What are you going to do for eternity? There are people giving up the eternal life and reward and glory eternally. No one will do that unless a terrible fog is upon them. We have got to keep the light. I want to say just one thing before I start the message. Bev's testimony, praying 6 hours to get rid of this one demon. I do not say this to hurt anybody. I do not say it because of her testimony alone, because many, many have had the same testimony. But I feel, you know how easy it is to win a soul who's totally willing and wide open? Do you know how hard it is to win a soul that is unwilling? We must not allow people to spend hours and hours and hours praying for us while we are unwilling. We need to stop and say, wait a minute, I'm unwilling, I need to go and get willing, I'll be back. You'll see me when I'm willing. We need also, it's not fair to make people spend hours, because there's other people then that they can't pray for in that time, and they're wearing themselves out for you, big-hearted people. We need ourselves. When we come across somebody and you can't get rid of something, you need to say, are you fully willing? Are you fully willing? Do you feel it inside that there is this thing that is, because of the gratification that while your spirit wants to get rid of it, you are unwilling? Then, if the answer is yes, you go and get willing. Let them pray. They need to pray about this. They're going to be here. You go and you set yourself. They need that time. You pray until you're willing. When you're willing and you're totally willing, you come back and see us. We need to be filled with the hours that we have and the energies that we have and make them spread to willing folks as much as possible in willing areas so God can get rid of as many demons as possible in the length of time that we have. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight because thou art supreme. And, O God, I pray that you'll take this message and we will soberly hear the word of God. And we will contemplate and not allow our minds to drift, but we will gird up the loins of our mind and hear the word of the Lord, and we will take action upon it that we might defeat the devil in our life and stand before the Son of Man for eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray your anointing upon all those that hear the word. I pray your anointing upon the minister tonight. We thank you for your love and your power and your anointing. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. Please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 21. It's 8:30. I will be closing about 9:30. I am taking the title from the Greek clause in the text, shaking sleep. Shaking sleep. Shaking sleep. Shake that sleep off. Luke 21, 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, the Greek word watch, agrupneo, means more than just watching. It means a watching, a sentential duty, watching in which you are shaking heavy sleep that is trying to come upon you. It is watching in an adverse hour and in a difficult time, watching while you're shaking sleep. Now, he says here that we are to shake sleep in our watching and pray always, that we may be worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass. Now, how shall we be worthy to escape? By watching, shaking sleep, by praying always. Well, escape what? All these things that shall come to pass. All these things that shall come to pass. What things? Well, some things noted here in the chapter, found in verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. Now, that hasn't happened yet. And upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity. You know the nations are in distress? You know there's great perplexities? The sea and the waves roaring. Now, he doesn't just mean the waves are turning over. That's no big deal. They've always turned over. He doesn't mean bigger storms so that they turn over in higher waves. He means in a spiritual sense. The roaring of the angry nations is what he means when he says the sea roaring. He also talks about the waves. The waves are only a part of the sea. The sea represents the nations. The waves represent individuals in the nations. Isaiah 5:30 says, they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And Revelation 17:15 says the waters are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. He's talking about nations in such distress and perplexities that the nations are out like lions that are roaring, like big waves coming in, crashing, the roaring of the sea. They're all in foment and roaring, and the individuals are all torn up. We begin to see activists and people roaring and being torn up, nations and their activities. But now you say, this says we might escape all these things that shall come to pass, and we are already seeing these things. Yes, this only shows how near the end we are. Because in verse 27 it says, after he mentions these things that are coming to pass, he says, and then, meaning afterwards, shall they, pronoun key referring to not the people of God, but those that are other than the people of God. So we see first a time key, and then the pronoun key, shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, that's not the out translation of the saints. You don't see him come then. This is the second coming when every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7. Every eye shall see him. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. After these things, He comes. But you say, but we already see it coming. Yes, next verse. And another thing now, when these things, same things, begin to come to pass, time key, different time key, not after they come to pass, but begin to come to pass, but they are in evidence. Then look up, the Greek is unbow yourself, and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Pronoun key, your, not they any longer. Now, what I'm saying is, he says we are going to escape these things. And when these things come to pass, the Son of Man will come in the second coming. But he says when they begin to come to pass, unbow yourself. Unbow yourself. Anakupto. Unbow yourself so you can look up. For your redeeming that Christ paid for you on Calvary draws near. We are already seeing these things. We are seeing the things that we are called to escape. And we are going to escape the worst of it. And we're already seeing the beginning of these things. The time is drawing near. And all the signs are showing it. And the people of God have got to get moving. What specifically shall we do, therefore? Verse 27. Pardon me a minute. Verse 36 says, verse 28 is unbow yourself. Unbow yourself and look up. How do you unbow yourself? Well, some of us are getting unbowed right now. Demons have had the church of Jesus Christ bowed over. Now, that is non-controversial. Whether you believe in casting demons out of the bodies of Christians or whether you don't, this fact remains. That demonic spirits have attacked Christians of all ages and have caused them to be bowed over. Who else would cause the church to be bowed over if it wasn't the devil and the hordes of demons through the lies that they have brought into the minds of God's people that have believed them? We have got to get delivered. We have got to take a stand against the devil. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall unbow you. Shall set you free. We have got to take a stand against the lies. We cannot continue to walk bowed over. Oh, it's so hard to walk the Christian life. Oh, it's so hard. Yes, the devil's a rough taskmaster. Get rid of him and it won't be so hard. Well, what else are we to escape? The snail in verse 35. For as a snail shall it, what's it referring to? Being overcharged with surfeiting, verse 34. Filling up the flesh to the full and the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. Not ready. Not ready. Oh, let me go buy some oil. No time. Too late. Unready. A snail. You know what a snail is? A snail is a trap set by someone. Snails do not evolve. There is an active intelligence behind the snail. It was set for a purpose to catch something. And guess who the someones are that it is to catch? us. Set, and we must escape the snail. This snail does not have a loop in it. There isn't a loop in the ground and a piece of meat in the middle. It's not quite that simple. This snail is the cares of life, which you think you must take care of. These demon forces will always make sure that you miss out in church services, prayer services, and everything, so you have lots of time for Betty Bye and the kiddies and everything else. Not that we don't need those things, but they will make sure that second priorities become first priorities over first priorities wherever possible. What is the snail? Now, what are we to do then to escape the snail? Well, if the snail is the cares of life, then you've got to escape that by doing the opposite, which is the cares of eternal life. And so if you want to escape the cares of this life, then set your affections on things which are above. And be not over anxious about any of these things, for these are the things that the nations are over anxious about, Jesus said. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. First seek the kingdom. Make sure you're in the kingdom. And then seek his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When you're seeking God's righteousness, he'll take care of his own. But otherwise, you are over anxious about the things of this life and not near anxious enough about the things of the next life, which are all important. You're going to keep living. You're going to keep having clothes in your back. We don't see 4 to 5 million Americans walking around without any clothes on and without any food and without any homes because they have set their affections on things above. I haven't seen that. Jesus said he has not seen the righteous begging bread. Now, you might say, all right, I want to escape. How? I'm convinced. Shake sleep and pray always. But what does this mean? What does this actually mean? Constant prayer is necessary in order to shake sleep of the devil and the cares of life. Now, by constant prayer, I'm talking about getting rid of these hindering forces. I'm not talking about the mechanics called prayer, where you bow your head, shut your eyes, fold your hand, and say, Heavenly Father. I am talking about a constant rapport between you and God that comes when people are walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, that there is a constant furnishing of God's Spirit from above. And especially, you're going all the day, you're buoyed up. There's something there all the time. There's coming down all the time. There's a praise going ahead. And even in the night, there's a praising. There was a constant communication in the Spirit. You see, but I haven't got there. You will. You will if you continue. You will. We all will. We all must. It will be the thing that will save us. It will be the thing that saves us. Because we're not there, we don't get the benefits of being there. We have an on and off again Christianity. That is, we have an off and on again exuberance and faith and feeling. Because we have an on again and off again prayer life. Now, without constant prayer, we are without the constant awareness of demonic intrusions into the mind. See, the Holy Spirit is a light within. We walk with a light within. We have an inner light that causes us to bear witness to things and know things are true. And you get like accused of the brethren, like a lot of these dissidents, they have lost the light. They can't feel. They don't know truth. They have got darkness in their souls. And therefore, everything to them appears different. The light appears as darkness. Everything is seen from a demonic perspective that they've opened up to. And everything is this different. And the accuser of the brethren has accused through them until they believe it and are full of it and equate with it and can see it. They see every reason why it's so. It is dangerous. I have seen Christians lose the light, until they did not even know if the Bible was true anymore. In fact, I saw a man in this assembly just a minute ago. He's sitting in the pews right here. Stood out on the lawn of my house after telling me, "Don, I would never give up Jesus. I mean, after Jesus did for me, what he's done for me, how could I ever give him up?" I said, "You will. You will give up the Lord. You will. Oh, I could never do that." And I stood on the same lawn and said, "Well, I don't know if this is true or not." Didn't even know if the Bible was true anymore. This is the power of the devil. And this is what happens when you lose the inner light. Oh, thank God for that inner light. A lot of us don't even, you're not even aware that you've got an inner light. It causes you to know these things that other people do not know, you didn't know before, and you won't know again. I've seen people speak in tongues and lose it and not even believe in it anymore. They lose the light. I saw a vision tonight, a short one, when they were singing over me. And the Lord was standing with what was shaped like a garment, but it looked like a soft fluorescent light. I mean, light was emanating. I mean, it looked like a soft light globe, you know, the whole appearance of the whole folds, everything, standing with draping his arm, and it just looked like a light going on. And then I saw him putting him on the saints. He just wrapped it about him. And when they did, it was just a light. And then another one. And it didn't look like clothes, white clothes shining. It looked like fluorescent light, like it was one fluorescent light bulb shaped like that put around him, and there was just light coming out. And what I deduced from that is, this light did not radiate from themselves. That light was added to them by the Lord. And then they didn't have to try to give it out. It just shone because it was there. Without constant prayer, we don't feel the urgency of the Spirit goading us. And then without the goading, it's easy just to drop off. Drop off from 3 times a week, come to church to 2 times, and then to 1 time, and then on occasion, and it's easy to drop off prayer, and it's easy to drop off a lot of things. You know, when an ox is goaded, he keeps going. And the prayer allows the Spirit to keep goading us, driving us on so we make heaven our home. Without constant prayer and the urgency of the Spirit goading us, we drift off into mundane pursuits. We get into driving hot rod airplanes, riding horses, anything, painting pictures, playing golf, I mean, you name it. We find something else to do to occupy our interests and our time. Not that there's anything wrong with occasional recreation, but when we lose Him as the focal point and goal, something else will become the focal point and the goal, and we get all wrapped up in something else until it becomes the biggest thing in life. The devil is always hunting to make something else the big thing for you and to take all of your energy and time and money into something else. Beware of these big projects he puts on your heart. Without constant prayer, we don't see the strategies of the devil. We're not in the place where we recognize what he's doing. We, for one thing, for example, we must be careful of our words. We must be careful of our words. Because what we say often gives open doors, sometimes to the devil. It is dangerous to say, "I'm going to kill myself." When you say, "I'm going to kill myself," the devil says, "Demon of suicide, get to that man right now. He's opening him right up to you. He is going to kill himself," he says. "Kindred spirit, get there immediately." "Well, I was just kidding." The devil says, "Well, I wasn't. You said, I am going to kill myself. You opened up to me, and here I am. And now I am going to work on you to kill you." It's dangerous to say, "Well, I just wish I were dead." Demon of death, get to that man right now. He wishes he were dead. Make it so. You have now opened up to that statement you have made. You have declared something, and you have opened to that. I hate myself. Demon of self-hate, get to that man right now. So I don't see how these things come in Christians. That's how they come in. You have invited them in. Well, I know, but I don't care. Demon, get to that man right now. He doesn't care whether it's right or wrong. You get to him right now. He's vulnerable. He's wide open. We have got to be careful what we say. Now, I hope this brother, good brother, I love this deal, but this brother has been as steady as a rock. I hope he doesn't mind me bringing this, but I'm going to do it anyway, because he's big enough to forgive me if he does. But, and you know, these are things that, you know, we've all said things like this. We've all said careless things like these are dangerous things to say. He said something like, something about, if something happens, okay, hope it lands on my head because I won't get hurt, you know. You know, that's a cute saying. That fella has been dumped on his head twice now in the last month or so. Once from off of a horse, he's a big fella named Don Saff. That's a lot of weight to be coming down on your head. Right on his head, off of a horse, and then a big semi-truck came down the hill, smashed in the side of his truck the other day, knocked him to a telephone pole, took a big tear of scalp, all the skin right off of his scalp, and meat and everything about that thick, but that big, right off the top of the skull. I'm advising him right now to repudiate that statement and say, no, don't land. I'm not going to say land on my head so I won't get hurt. I'm going to say, Jesus, protect me from getting knocked down at all or hurt or hit in any way. I mean, we have been careless. We haven't recognized this thing that we rise or fall to the level of our affirmations, and we open doors to God or to demon spirits by what we say. And we have been far too careless. And you are what you eat. I taught that in this place 15 years ago. You are what you eat. You get eating Playboy magazine, you're going to become Playboy magazine. You are what you say. You are what you think. You better be careful. You better be careful. Now, I make a difference between what comes into your mind that's not you and what you accept and take and decide to think with. You better be careful with what you accept and decide to think with. And these intruding spirits, we've got to get rid of them. They bother, you know, they come in to bother us. They don't leave anybody alone. Without constant prayer, a prayer life, and a constant prayer, we lack the will and the ability to fight the devil. One thing that I want to say, for example, Bev said, you know, I've had this sickness all these years, you know, and I haven't said anything to anybody. We've got to quit boycotting Jesus when we're sick. Christians throughout the world are generally very slow to come to prayer, and then maybe once or twice. We have got to take an active stand. And when we get sick, we are going to have to, you know, you just don't say, okay, demon, go away, and he's gone. Sometimes you've got to resist a little bit. You know, you can't just give a little passive, lay me down the sleep trail for your healing and be done with the thing. You have got to set yourself against that thing that's attacking you, and you've got to take the source as being the devil, and you have got to set yourself and say, I refuse it, I don't want it, I will not have it, he does not have a right to me, because I am a son of God. This sister that said about the double vision. Well, now, Lord, if you would want, oh, my dear friend, God doesn't want anybody with double vision. He has come to get rid of the effects of sin as well as sin. He is our Lord, our healer. He has no purpose in you walking around with double vision. We need to understand that God does not want us to carry our sicknesses. It is not true that it's his will that we go and bear the cross and carry the thorn and all the rest, and have all these things upon us. We need to come against them and refuse them in Jesus' name. We need to say, you demon of arthritis, I won't take you, I won't take you, I won't take you. You've got to get out. You say, well, he didn't get out. I prayed, prayed. You keep praying, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. For Jesus promised that everyone that keeps seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, shall what? Receive what? The Holy Ghost? Not just the Holy Ghost. When gospel says the Holy Ghost, he's offering that particular thing. That's what he's talking about. The other gospel says good gifts. Isn't it? Good gifts. And one of the good gifts is healing. Keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking, and you shall receive that good gift. We need to wrestle with the angel of the Lord like Jacob until we obtain. I would like to, at this time, ask every one of us, including me, all of us, now it's the sixth thought, bombarding the gate of heaven until the well. And when we got some problem, some demonic problem, intrusions into our mind, let us start. Everybody's forgiven to this minute, okay? Now, starting over again. Let's start resisting, rebuking, taking a stand against it. It will have to leave eventually. You see, but I prayed it won't go. Let me tell you why. Because next time it brings it back, you take it. But I resisted for 6 hours, for 12 hours, for 5 days. But the sixth day, you took it. Of course, every hungry dog's going to hang around. Even if you don't feed it every meal. If it occasionally can get a meal, it's going to hang around. But when it gets no more meals, it eventually will go. When that devil gets no more meals off of you, he eventually will leave you. Because there's nothing there in it. He gets no fun out of it whatsoever. We need to persevere and not give up because we tried a few times. We say, I don't want you. And he says, well, I'm going to hang around anyway because I think maybe you do. I think you'll take me back. No, I don't. Oh, I think you will. I don't want you. I hate you. No, you don't really hate me. Your spirit does. But you'll take me. We'll try again a little bit later. Try in a few days. But when he cometh and findeth nothing in you, time after time, he'll eventually leave you. At least for a more opportune season, he'll leave. Now, without constant prayer, we lack the will and the ability to fight the devil. Now, some people say, well, boy, do you realize what you're saying, Pastor? Pray, pray, pray. Prayer life. Pray in the morning. Pray in the night. Pray in the day. Pray. I mean, constantly fight the devil. Fight the devil. Do you know what kind of work this is? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you two things. The first thing is, regardless of how much work it is, it'll get you to heaven. If you fight him today, and then you get sleep and food, and you have energy to tomorrow, and tomorrow's no worse than today. And you got through it today, so then you fight him tomorrow. And then you fight him the next day, and you pray day after day after day after day, and every day is taking you close to the Lord until finally you got wrapped your day. Because that's what's going to save you, is the continual. He tells you right here. Be shaking sleep and praying always that you may be accounted worthy. Don't you want to be worthy? Wouldn't you rather do that and not make it? A lot of people are not making it. Do you want to take a chance in not making it? What makes you think you can not make it if you let your prayer life drop off? You say, I never had a prayer life. That's why you're so dead and dry. How long are you going to be able to live without it? You only can live so long and then boom, you're gone. You're waiting for what? The devil's waiting, just setting you up. You know? Say, but he hasn't hooked me. No, he got three loops. He's got two loops for me. He's got one loop underneath one of your legs right now, but he hasn't tightened it. Because he knows you can pull pretty hard. So he's waiting to get the other loop under you. When he gets the second loop under you, he's going to pull both of them. This is what happens. Sometimes you don't realize anything's happening. He's got a loop around, but he's not doing anything with it. He's letting it go right now because if he lets you know you got it, he'll fight you. You'll fight him hard. He's going to wait until he gets both legs, and he's going to snap them both, and you're done. People, what does that mean? Well, that means, for example, some handsome-looking guy come into the church, and he just got born again, you know, 4 days ago, and he's really a mess in his life. And he wants to date you, and we say, nothing doing. You are doing well in the Lord, and this guy, the only reason we're leaving him in here is to save his soul right now, and we don't want you to have anything to do with him. Well, I haven't had a date for years, and I'm this and this, and he's so handsome. Boy, he knows how to kiss. You ought to see this and this and this. I'll tell you something. You know, kiss first date, you know, that's the way they do it today. Taught that on television. Now, all you take is one thing. Well, I'm not going to give him up. I rebel. I set myself. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You're on your way. Snap both legs and pull. You're about gone right there. See, marriage is not going to save and make everything wonderful from now on. Marriage is just any old marriage doesn't make everything wonderful. A lot of girls have found out they don't get the kisses they used to. I'm going to tell you something. You better know who you got on the other end of the line. You better know he walks with God steady, or you're going to end up in trouble. Like some of them right now. I'll tell you about marriage. Being single is right here. A beautiful marriage is uphill, way above it. And a bad marriage is way below it. And it's not just getting married is going to solve my problems. Getting married will plunge you into problems unless it's a good one. Without constant prayer, we lose our love for Jesus. And so we don't care that we displease him. And so because we're not really in love with him, it's no biggie that we displease him, because we don't care about hurting his heart. So we do it all the time, even insensitive. Don't even know that we're even doing it and care less. That's because we're not in love. You get in love with somebody, you'll care about whether... You know when people are in love, when they're going together, they're in love, they talk so carefully together. And make sure they don't hurt the other one. And they're just so careful of one another's hearts, and they're so sensitive to one another. Why? They're in love. They don't want to hurt him. Get really in love with him, and we're going to be very careful not to disappoint him. Now, we have got to have that life in God. Without constant prayer and the shaking off of sleep, we begin to accept the attitude of the world about us. And we begin to accept the attitude of the demons working in us and on us. We begin to accept that because we are not kept sharp in the spirit, breaking through every day. Every day you need to break through every demonic cloud. They're just like the spiders. You know, you take away the web and boom, they got one the next day sitting out there again, all brand new. And they just keep throwing this web out there. But you keep breaking through and keep breaking through, and you keep having those excursions in the spirit. And you'll keep that web away. But you don't dare just go away from prayer and leave that. You know, that thing's going to be loaded with webs and spiders if you leave it very long. You see, when you don't have the Spirit of the Lord enlightening you, everything seems different. Values are different. Your goals are different. Standards are different. Requirements are different. God's will is different. You can't see any biggie about it. Well, I don't see any all this biggie stuff. I mean, I'm doing fine. Oh, my friend, nobody's doing fine. You know, hardly. I mean, you can't say we're doing fine until you have a finished product. I mean, we're all on the wheel, you know, and you stop each one of us and get a good look, and you say, quick, turn it on again, you know. You can't say, oh, I'm fine, not unless the wheel is turning and the hand is on it, making it its workmanship. You cannot leave the wheel at a standstill, unplug it, and say, I'm getting along fine. Without constant prayer, we lose sight of eternal rewards. Now, this sleep that we're fighting, fight sleep, shake sleep, that sleep we're fighting is sleep caused by a devil with a whole army of spirits. Sent out to make God's people sleepy. He says, to be constantly watching, shaking sleep, because the suddenness of the event that will occur from the heavens will come so suddenly in such a way that it requires diligent watching. Otherwise, you won't even know what season, you know, is with you. There are a lot of Christians that they don't know the signs of the time. Now, see, demonic powers will mask what's behind the happenings. And so you won't know what's happening. You won't be able to see what's happening. I mean, I'll give you an example. One of the devil's tricks is to use people who are deceived by him. And because they're deceived, the person is sincere. And so, therefore, it doesn't seem like he's got any evil motives. No one's got any evil motives. It's just his opinion. I mean, you know, we've got our opinion. The liberals got their opinion. There's no evil motive. I mean, he really is sincere. Oh, my friend, there's an evil motive of the demon. And that's one of the things he masks, the danger of what he's doing. But, well, he has a right to his opinion, doesn't he? It's not his opinion. It's the demon's opinion. Nobody has a right to the devil's opinion. God says this is it. That's the only right to opinion you have. I have. Demons recall millions of lies they've given as proof and as the ground to confirm the last lie. See? And they're constantly giving out all these lies, and then they come up with this new lie and they say, well, you see the proof of it, and then they go back to the other lies they gave you. And then it's easier to believe the new because of all the old lies. And they use the same... See, Satan used the trick of the devil. You tell a lie often enough and big enough, and people will believe it. Hitler did that. And the communists do it all the time. You just take a big lie. See, now, for example, if the communists go into a nation and they go down and they attack... And from inside, they attack and work to take over and so forth. They immediately charge the other nation of being the attacker. See, they attack the other one of doing whatever they do. And if they broke the peace treaty, they accuse the other one of breaking the peace treaty. See, I mean, they don't pick a little plausible lie. They pick the biggest thing that they can get, far-fetched, and they constantly hammer at it. And the people think, well, it must be so. I mean, they did it, you know, so forth. They were guilty of it. And they convinced people because it's such an audacious thing. That's how these salesmen sell these things in the back of these magazines, you know. This little gadget here will make your car go 150 miles a gallon. Send in $998. None of the General Motors experts know about it. This little gadget right here. And this little thing here, in 10 minutes of your own time, in your own day, and in 10 minutes, you can lose, you know, up to 50 pounds, you know, in 2 months, you know. And what you do, you know, you bend over, you know, so many times a day, and you lose all this magic weight. You ever think about a woman who has 4 kids that she's doing all day? You know, and she got a waist like this, and she's still bending over all day? The reason they can sell all this stuff with all these fantastic guarantees, all these before and after pictures, you know, that are all touched up, you know, I had 32 busts, now I got 44, you know, in 7 days, you know, with this new magic little deal I put around me. It's a new sweat exactor, you know, designed by Dr. McCliglin, you know. You know how they get away with that stuff? Because the lie is so big that nobody can figure that you could ever... I mean, they couldn't say it if it wasn't true. Not a straw of truth to it. Means absolutely nothing. We had the FDA to a school, my high school, and they were telling a lot of the stunts that these advertisers were pulling. And one of them was, farmers, potato bug killers. Absolutely guaranteed to kill your potato bugs or your money refunded. Send $20 for a sample. Absolutely, totally guaranteed, or your money refunded. Well, you know, you got acres and acres and acres of potatoes and bushels of worms scattered out in the potatoes. And if something really works, you know, absolutely guaranteed, this will absolutely, not one will escape, you know, that's all these big sounding words. Try it. Well, a big farmer's got lots of money. Sure, they'll give it a try. A little package came like this, black package, you open it up, and there was two boards. And a piece of paper. Place potato bug on first board, place second board on top potato bug, and push. Guaranteed, if it does not kill him, please send back, and your money will be refunded. See? Antique coat hangers, same kind used in the 1700s, see? Just, you know, $5. Sent them in, got one little old square nail. See? They say figures don't lie, but liars sure do figure. You know. The lie is big enough that people swallow it because they think, oh, it must be true. I tell you, the garbage, they can. Our people are so naive, and the same as these diets have been warning you about. All this garbage, but how all this stuff works, and well, if all the promises, the devil is, you know, is a liar, and he lies all the time, and based on lies, he gives you more lies, and after a while, it begins to seem truth because, you know, it's just like, you take this enzyme acts and so forth, and this, you take this, and by mouth, and so forth, the problem will be gone. What they didn't tell you, and when you check with the dietitians, is the hydrochloric acid in the stomach kills the enzyme as soon as it hits the stomach, so it can't do you any good whatsoever. But they don't tell you that, and the average person doesn't know anything about it, and they don't care that it ever helps you. Live on psychosomatic things anyway. They'll take it for a time. They'll sell a certain amount. Besides, you don't have a good clinical situation. You feel better some days than others. Besides, you start cutting down on the food and a little bit because, you know, you lose the appetite as it's giving you trouble. And you're taking these things. You're feeling a little bit better. You think you're taking them. You're feeling better because you're taking them. And you're taking them a bit. And it's doing some help. And they're not doing a bit of help. And you keep taking it. They don't care. They're getting money off of it. I mean, duped by the millions. The demons have got people duped by the millions. Shaking sleep and watching is keeping expectancy alive. It's keeping the vision. It's keeping the words of Jesus in our hearts. Shaking sleep and watching in prayer doesn't allow the demons to sneak in unawares. For example, there was a fella in this church. But he was in the church and then he was out of the church. And demons, they had him down. I mean, they had him down till he couldn't even see bottom. But God, but these testimonies got through to him from people, and he got delivered. He got marvelously delivered. I mean, he got delivered of deep, deep, terrible problems and was walking well. He was back into the body. You know what's happened to him? Right now, these demons are coming back to him, and he's getting manifestations. And he, one manifestation, it makes practice like he's almost going to die. I'm going to think I'm going to have a heart attack. And now he's saying, I don't want anybody to pray for me. Nobody to pray for me. I don't want anybody, because I don't want any more of those manifestations. And he's saying, it's no use, I'm not going to make it anyway. Now, you see, here's the problem. He has let back in the same demons that he got rid of. But he's not watching carefully. You've got to keep up. Once you pray and pray and pray and you get delivered, then they quit praying because I'm delivered. And then after the devil waits a while and you're all bouncy all the time, he says, well, I'll just wait till he settles down. And quit praying a while. And after he bounces and bounces, he doesn't need prayer anymore, he thinks. And after he settles down and quits praying a while, he comes back in and says, he comes back in and he comes in with a manifestation, comes in, puts pressure on him, and, oh boy, you know, and foggy mind until he doesn't realize what's happened. And instead of saying, oh no, you don't. I mean, what happens if you don't get rid of this demon that's causing the manifestation? He's going to live there. What do you think he's going to do? Well, at least you won't make me feel that way. No, he will cripple you spiritually and ruin your life and put you in the lake of fire. If you want to get rid of him, you attack you physically. I think you better fight him physically until you win, rather than let him take you over spiritually until he wins. I mean, the worst he could do is send you to heaven. We need to fight hard. I have already taken a stand because, you know, the devil wants to come and physically, because he wants to attack me physically. But I've already taken a stand. See, the devil has already put in my mind, I've never listened to him once, but many times he's come with this idea of, you rebuke me, and I'll just pour the paint on you. And I have always rebuked him right there immediately and said, I rebuke you, even in between, even when I don't have pain and problems, I haul off and initiate a rebuke for him. And I am not going to give up. I'm going to fight this thing every step of the way. I will not allow him to intimidate me. We cannot allow him to intimidate us because he starts pushing a little pressure on us. We got to say, no, you don't. I am fighting you. I am fighting you no matter what you do. I rebuke you. I resist you forever. I have war with you forever. And you'll not intimidate me. No matter what happens, I fight you in Jesus' name. I put myself in the hands of the Lord. But you have got to fight. You can't just passively fight him. Shaking sleep and watching him fail will make us worthy to escape. That's what it says. You may become worthy. It'll make us worthy. It'll make us walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. This constant shaking sleep and watching and constant prayer will bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. You see, it will do worthy things in us. Christ said, he that loveth father or mother, son or daughter more than me, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me, and therefore is not worthy of escaping all these things that should come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. You can't be unworthy of him and worthy of escaping to stand before him. Are you there? Isn't that right? Unless we take up our cross. You know what that means? Saying, you demons that I like the feeling of, that give me power over other people, you're gone. He didn't want you to have power over other people. He doesn't want, well, I feel big over him. He didn't want you to feel big over him. He wants you to be meek and gentle and kind and forbearing and loving. We say, well, I like it. Makes no difference. We will not be worthy. You are trading something if you don't kill. The spirit cannot always drive you to. These demons have a right. They will own you. They will take you to the ends of the earth and the bottom of the sea unless we get rid of them. We have got to face up with reality and not our druthers, as they say in the South. Not our feelings. Not what we like, but thy will be done. The cross. We accept the cross for this life that we might have life everlasting. Christ accepted the cross and was exalted on high and given a name above every other name. And if we will follow the pattern, Son, and take up the cross and follow him, we will have his name written upon us and we will sit in the throne with him. Same thing, same reward. What Christ went through was rough, but I'm sure he feels it's worth it. And it will be for us. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. Better than letting the devil bind you and then go in the lake of fire forever and ever. For the time effort, I'm going to leave out the Greek here. I want to just say one thing. I'm closing you in Acts. In Acts 5:41, we find that the disciples were beaten and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his namesake. They didn't become worthy. They were accounted worthy. Now, you know what they accounted worthy? they were counted worthy because they were filled with the Spirit and they'd been in prayer. Therefore, they gained sufficient strength for the occasion. See, the Greek means gaining sufficient strength or vigor, which means gives you the ability to escape, which puts you in a place where you're counted worthy to escape, which is the King James translation, is another manuscript. There is, I'm going to read this last verse, Revelation 12:7. I'll just quote it. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the devil and his angels. Do you know why it says Michael and his angels instead of Jesus and his angels? Because Michael is the warrior angels, and the head of warrior angels, and these are his angels, are warrior type angels. I don't have time to share with you the last thing that I want to share with you, but I'll do that some other time. Shaking sleep. I think that is a good exercise. Good spiritual exercise. And this is a sober testimony. It's a sermon. It's brought, you know, with a little bit of hardness. But it's made to wake us up and cause us to realize we have got to bring our minds into subjection. How to say it in all things? No? Bring every thought into subjection. Now let me just close with that. Bring every thought into subjection. Now I want you to say it with me. Bring every thought into subjection. One more time. Bring every thought into subjection. Now add an I to it. I will. I will bring every thought into subjection. Devil, do you hear that? We are going to bring every thought into subjection. Don't allow the mind to wander, every evil, filthy thought. Don't allow the devil to have your mind to play games with. Got one demon over there going, boom, and we have this mind. Now, bloom back with that one. Bloom back with this one. Just playing ping pong on your mind. This is not his ping pong table. He can get off of it. We need to make sure that we don't think anything up here. Whatever thought is good and pure, think on those things, the scripture says. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Would you stand, please?